Well, good morning, everyone. This is Mal Belairs and family in New York on vacation and loving every cotton-picking minute of it. Johnny Parker, thank you very much. And hi, everybody, clear across the United States. My team in Chicago, last Friday afternoon, just before I left, came to the studio, just as I was signing off the show, and they all sang Seems Like Old Times, and they gave me a little, not a Vinci Remo, but they said, take this back and play it on the show. I left it there, and there's just one thing we're going to have to be very careful about. I put the car through the car wash place in Chicago last Thursday, and the man said, hi, Mal, you going to New York, I hear. And I said, that's right. And he said, you don't play the ukulele, do you? So you're all going to have to come over and cover up all of my deficiencies. Will you do that? I'm delighted to be here with all of you. I would like all of you to know that Carol Sloan is standing to my left, and I am much in love with her because she's been on my shows in Chicago. I would also like you to know that Marty Gunty is here, and that's a wonderful name. It's kind of like Mal Belairs, nobody would believe it. I also would like you to know Tony Sandler and Ralph Young are here, and they sing, and you just won't believe the way they do their work either. And Paul Malloy, an old buddy from Chicago. So, he said Chicago, Carol Sloan, how about this town we live in?
All right, if you insist. Chicago, Chicago, what a toddling town. Oh, Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. And I love it, bet you by the dollar you will lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago. That's the town Billy Sunday could not shut down. Yes, on State Street, what a great street. Ooh, I just gotta say, oh, they do things that they never do. Uptown on Broadway, what a time, the time of their life. Well, I saw a man, he danced with his wife, Chicago. Chicago, my hometown. Chicago, I'm talking about Chicago. Oh, 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 what a town. Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. Come on, I want to show you around. You might dig it. Bet your bottom dollar you will lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago. That's the town Mal Belairs could not shut it down. Talking about State Street, that is a great street. Oh, I just have got to say, people, they do things they never do. Uptown on Broadway, what a time, the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown. Oh, State Street, that's a great street. People, I gotta say, they do things they never do.
I saw you. It was at Mr. Kelly's. We burned it
Chicago.
Down since. Yeah, that's too bad.
You know, that was really a tragedy. That's a great club. I hope they open it soon.
Well, the Marienthals run such a great operation down at the London House, and they're hiring live talent. And we keep saying more live people, more acts, more people. Mm. We've got, of course, the Empire Room and the Drake and all kinds of nice things. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, did he put singers in the London House during the time?
It's still running mostly just as the instrumental group. And everybody loves it. They do come in like crazy to see and hear what's going on. You know, most people don't know me around the country. I was, I started out in Chicago in my career in radio, and I've had a wonderful time there. I came there right after World War II, and I bluffed a man out of a job, started in there, and I've just carried on. I've had some opportunities to go other places, but I like the town. I think my first memory of Chicago was in 1933, when as a little boy, my family took me to see the World's Fair. We went out on a boat out on Lake Michigan, and I fell in love with that town that very minute, because as you look at Chicago, as you see that great, beautiful front yard we all enjoy so much, I said, there's nothing like it. I'm going to move back there. I have a hard time with my name. People often say to me, what was it before you changed it? And I say, well, that's it. It's Malcolm Bellairs. I get letters addressed to Melvin Ayers and to Melba Ayers.
Yes.
And every once in a while I get a letter addressed to Mabel Ayers. I don't like at all.
That happens to me. That happens to me, Mal. Yes.
Marty Gunty. Now, that's an interesting...
Morty Gunty. Yes.
Morty. Gunty. Well, Mal, Morty.
Morty Gunty. I get mail addressed to Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, no.
Why?
Yeah. Mort and Gunty. I was billed as once. Wonderful dance team. Mort and Gunty. I had played in San Francisco recently, and a fellow billed me, and on the show is a comedian, Gunty Morty, or Morty Gunty, or something like that, whichever he prefers.
Really?
I don't know, is that a hard name, Morty Gunty?
Well, it's kind of hard. I have seen you, and I've heard about you. Weren't you a school teacher at
yeah,
one time?
Yes.
Was this a good life?
No.
He fought me.
No, it was a lot of fun, really. I enjoyed being a school teacher. It was. I taught for 3.5 years in the city of New York. See, I had the same experience happen to me in New York as you did in Chicago. I started in New York, stayed in New York, taught in Brooklyn, in fact. A great job, teaching school, marvelous. $48 a week, all the paper and pencils you could steal.
Yeah, that's kind of rough.
Oh, yes. No, I became a school teacher. It's only because of one reason, actually, Mal, because of my mother. She wanted security for both her children, so one of us became a school teacher and the other one a fireman. And she was equally proud of both of us, you know. Refused to go around bragging to the neighbors about my son, Morty, the school teacher, and my daughter, Shirley, the fireman.
Kind of an interesting life going on there.
I had a ball. I taught a special subject. I taught a subject called speech improvement.
Oh.
Yes, that was my subject. All the children in my classes used to talk like this. If you couldn't talk like this, you couldn't be into my class. It's the truth. I had a student once by the name of Sylvester Slotnick. And every time he said his name, he sprayed his good wishes on the whole class. But I had a ball. It was a lot of fun, really. All the kids. That was my regular subject, speech improvement.
What caused you to leave teaching, Marty?
Arthur Godfrey.
The
believe
man
it or not.
Listen,
believe it or
we've
not.
Forgotten a terrible thing, gang. This is Arthur's desk I'm sitting behind, and look at all the clutter. An interesting clutter. But still, I think we ought to take 1 minute here and say hello, Arthur, wherever you are.
Good morning, Mal Bellairs. Welcome to Arthur Godfrey time. We have heard great things about you out there in WBBM, both from the brass at the station and the listeners to whom you dedicate yourself every day. And we are therefore very, very proud and happy to have you here, sitting in our chair. Our first client's Kelly Girl employees. Kelly Girls. Kelly Girls are people who sit in for regular girls who are sick in an office or are on vacation, fill in for some reason. There are lots and lots of openings where people want temporary help. And if you, my love, have any basic office skill, something you worked at one time, typist, auditor, receptionist, bookkeeper, file clerk, what do you do? You come down to the Kelly Services office or call them up on the telephone. They'll tell you about it. And find out how much you know, how well you are qualified, tell you very frankly, help you a little bit if they can, and they'll get you a job for one day filling in for somebody who's ill, or a week for somebody's on vacation, or... Well, they offer you all kinds of things, something always new, different, and there's no better way to get yourself back into circulation. Meet new people, do new things, really get around in this exciting business world, and earn good money, too. Hope you'll give it some serious thought. And would you like to become a Kelly Girl? They are an equal opportunity employer. There's a little booklet that gives the whole story, which they will be very happy to send you. Write to Kelly Services, Box 3589, Detroit. Kelly Services, Box 3589, Detroit, Michigan. Or look up the Kelly Girl's office listed in the white pages of your phone book.
That's very nice. Yes, sir. Arthur Godfrey is off in Vietnam. We were hoping to get word from him for the show this morning, but I guess he's thoroughly involved, and at least the tapes haven't come through to us. But maybe tomorrow we'll be here all this next week with you. I'm very interested in what he is saying, because I happen to have a son who is up there around Nha Trang someplace, or off toward Pleiku, and before Mr. G Gee left, he said, I will see if I can find him, and I would certainly like to hear a tape of my son's voice. He doesn't write letters too well, if you know what I mean. And I'm sure there's some of you mothers and fathers who know that. Morty,
yes.
Weren't you on the Godfrey Talent
Scouts? Right, that's the reason I left school teaching. I did the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scouts in 1952, and I was one of the winners. And in those days, if you were on television, it was, I mean, you know, it was a brand new thing. And the kids in my class, you know, my goodness, Mr. Gunty was on the television last night. And from that point on, it was over. You know, every the kids in my class, it was just like fun time. Yippee! Hey, do a joke. Do one of those things you did last night. Jump up and down. What is Arthur Godfrey really like? You know, and it was complete chaos. And the principal called me into the office and said, Mr. Gunty, have you given any thought to resignation? I said, no, not until right now, but okay, if that's the way you feel about it. That was it, really.
And that's how you bowed out.
Really.
Do you know, while in 1954, I auditioned for that show. I never even made the final audition. I made the final audition, never made the show. And then I went and became a Kelly girl. This is Emmis. Honest.
A Kelly girl?
That's
Emmis?
That's right. Emmis, a Kelly girl. I was one of them Kelly girls.
Is that a thing?
Yes, and then much, much later, through a strange series of coincidences and things, I got on this show. And I told Arthur about it later. It was very funny.
We all have very peculiar things that happen to us in relation to the people who employ us. This was a kind of a similar thing that happened to me. Mr. Ernie Shomo is my boss in Chicago, head of CBS radio there, and he called me up about 3 weeks ago, and he called me into his office and said, would you like a cup of coffee? Now, you know, this is the tip. When he says, would you like a cup of coffee, something momentous is about to happen.
That's it.
So I said, yes, fine. Reviewing in my mind now, what have I been doing or not been doing? And he said, Mal, how would you like to give up a week of your vacation? I said, oh, come on, Ernie. And he sat back at his table and took a puff on his cigarette and said, how would you like to give up a week of your vacation and go in and be Arthur Godfrey? And I said, oh, come on, Ernie, let's go. See, so be nice to your boss wherever you are.
That's right.
Because nice things can happen with those people who do employ you. You know, I've liked this show right here for a long time because the talent, the people who appear, the people that Arthur finds, I don't know whether he gets the full credit or the people who work with him. Of course, in New York, he's at a nerve center where very talented people are. There is a new act here. Gents, would you two take your way up here to this thing called a microphone while I read? This morning in the hotel, where to go and what to do in New York City, I picked up a copy and it said, a Cinderella story of sorts is taking place this week. Several months ago, when Polly Bergen opened at the Persian Room of the Plaza, she introduced to local audiences Tony Sandler and Ralph Young, a musical duo who occasionally sound like a string quartet. That they were well received is evidenced by the fact that on Wednesday, August the 17th, Tony Sandler and Ralph Young are opening at the Plaza with the spotlight all to themselves. That's day after tomorrow. So you folks across the United States right now, this morning, on this program, are going to get a little feel of what these two men are bringing into our business. I was sitting here in rehearsal a few minutes ago, and I was completely fascinated. Gents, will you take it from there?
Dominique, nique, nique, s'en allait tout simplement, routier, pauvre et chantant. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu. Dominique, tout simplement, my home is over the en tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu. Cross into the campground. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Or the bon Dieu. Swing low, swing chariot. Well, my thanks go on.
Well, let's see, Mel, old boy, this is Monday, August 15th, wash day in lots of homes. Wash day, greatest wash day product there is around is Miracle White. And, man, are we proud to represent these people. They get fan mail. They get more fan mail than Elizabeth Taylor does. Really? For example, and they send me a whole bunch of them because they make for fine scripts. I'd rather read them than stuff that they send over from the agency any day. Mrs. Ann Petrella, for example, Woodbine, New Jersey. She says, to whom it may concern, and that means all of us, I really think this product is wonderful and I would recommend it highly. I have a very high iron content in the well water here, and my clothes were really getting orange from the rust. By accident, I tried Miracle White, but I can guarantee you it worked wonders to my clothes. I am really thankful for trying it. I was about at my wit's end. I had tried so many things without any results. I just couldn't help but write a letter to tell you how wonderful this product is. I feel very proud of the difference in my white clothes and also my three white Cheville spreads. Cheville? You ladies will know what that is, I guess. Thanks for such a good product, signed Ann Petrella. Miss Petrella, we're very happy to hear from you. Very glad that Miracle White solved your problems. It'll solve most people's laundry problems. If it doesn't live up to what we say, you know, they give you double your money back. You couldn't lose. The name of the product is Miracle White.
And, Arthur, you'll never know how comfortable it is hearing you talk about that product because we had the pleasure of starting this product out in Chicago. Water Specialties Incorporated on 1741 Fullerton, Miracle White, about 2 years ago. We have had a simply unbelievable reaction to Miracle White, and we were very happy when you started telling people all across the country about it. It sure does work. I get an indication now that all the stations around the country want to identify themselves. I'm thinking of Bud Kelly back at WBBM, in particular, of course. Johnny, would you do the honors, please?
This is the CBS Radio Network.
The man's clearing his throat and looking across the country. Hi, everybody. This is Mal Belair sitting in Arthur Godfrey's beautiful chair here in the studio in New York, looking at some very nice people, thinking of all of you, a lot of you gals who are washing dishes at home and some of you who are doing the Monday morning wash, huh? Arthur's way off in Vietnam, and while he's away, we are playing games with our good friends, Carol Sloan, with whom I've enjoyed many evenings of listening to her sing, watching her in Chicago, and being one of her fans. Morty Gunty.
Yes.
It's not Marty, it's Morty, who's been a school teacher, has done some wonderful commercials that I'm sure a lot of you have seen. A lot of fun. We're going into those at greater length. Tony Sandler and Ralph Young. I know you're going to see a lot of them. I know you're going to hear much of them. And a buddy of mine out of Chicago. You know, when I knew I was coming in here, I said, it's nice to have a familiar face around, and I knew that Paul Molloy was going to be here. Paul Molloy is a writer with the Chicago Sun-Times. He's written, and then there were eight, referring to his children, a very warm, a very kind book. And then about 2 years ago, he came out with a book called A Pennant for the Kremlin. I still think this would make a great musical on Broadway. And now he has another book out called All I Said Was by Paul Molloy. Paul, what are the things in Chicago that get people excited? They react to you and your column. What is it that upsets them?
You mean in the column or in general? Well, in the column, I think it's a wide spectrum, Mal. I can give you maybe two brief examples because they surprise me. The column, of course, deals with a variety of subjects. It doesn't pin itself down to too much, although most of them have a lot to do with broadcasting, as you know. But one time, a couple of years ago, my number one son went off to college, and as I drove back to Chicago, I got a funny little feeling in my stomach and sort of a little lump in my throat, and I felt terribly corny about it, but I couldn't shake it off, and I thought more of it, and that night, I remember I have a habit, which I got from my father, of looking in on the kids. You know, when you have eight youngsters, you get in the habit of opening the doors at night and seeing that things are okay, especially on nights when they have their friends over, you know.
Yes.
What they call the sleepover thing.
When nobody sleeps, ever.
Well, when you have three or four friends who have a sleepover, you have a pretty crowded house, you know.
That's
and our
right.
house is a very
camp.
Big...
It becomes a
day camp.
Terrible.
We have to get a counselor.
So in any event, I had this feeling, and I said to myself, all of a sudden it struck me, where have the years gone? You know, the things I wanted to have said to them, and the things I would have wanted to do with them, perhaps because of lack of time. And now it was the day of the boy was over, and it was now the day of the man. And so the next day in the office, I was rumbling around for an idea for a column, and I said, well, we're accused nowadays, as you know, of being, we shouldn't be emotional. You're not supposed to show your emotion. It's square, it's corny, or out of date, or something like that. But I said, the heck with it. This is the way I feel. And, of course, I'm lucky because I can give personal opinions like that. So I wrote a column along these lines. And, mm-hmm. and I expected, you know, a little reaction from perhaps mothers and so on. And what surprised me, there were about 900 letters. And the vast majority of them were from men. I mean, tough guys, you know, truck drivers and lawyers and doctors and men in the service, as a matter of fact, all saying the same thing almost to the point, I have felt the way that you have felt when mine went away, and or I'm going to next year, or I did 10 years ago and I still remember it. And I didn't want to talk about that, say, to my friends or even to my wife. I just thought, well, you know, you're not supposed to say those things. But here's a full-grown adult male who says that publicly in a column, and I just feel an awful lot better now. In other words, I'm not as corny as I thought that I was. And just the fact that so many men took the trouble of writing a letter like that, it gave me a real surprise.
I think it's interesting that you're sitting here with us this morning because Helen Gurley Brown is going to be on the show tomorrow morning. And she is, I think, ultra-sophisticated to the point that it all comes off with a little click. And I will say this to her face on the show tomorrow. You, on the other hand, are... some people would call you corny. They really would, Paul.
They've called me worse than that. That's a nice word for radio.
In Chicago, this man has a group called the Blue Nose... What is it?
Incorporated.
Blue Noses Incorporated. What's that about, Paul?
Well, briefly, again, it's... I have to repeat that I'm a little old-fashioned, and in recent years, I've been a little bit depressed, or distressed, rather, by the way the arts are going. I mean by that the theater and the screen, the movie, books... some magazines, and perhaps tomorrow television. I mean, this all-out freedom of expression by people who want freedom. I don't want to stop it. I don't believe in censorship, for example, or anything like that. But I do believe in some kind of controls because I think we're going too far. And it's not only a matter of morality. You know, it's not only a matter of the youngsters and the kids becoming adults before their time, but it's also, I think, a matter of selfishness. Because, for example, when somebody tells me, well, I'm not going to buy any more books for a while because I've had it, you know, with this perversions and, you know, some people can't write a book without, they seem to, you know, they just discovered sex, for heaven's sakes. It's been going on for quite some time, I think. So I feel that if they say that, in a sense, it hurts me because I'm in that sort of a profession, and I think it's sad to see the arts get a little deterioration like that. And so I say that in the column, and as you know, most critics nowadays are rather liberal, you know, perhaps more sophisticated than ever before. So there are not very many of us who stand up and say, well, frankly, I saw the movie, and I think it's junk. I think it's garbage. And I find that people sometimes say at a party, and they'll say, did you read this book, or did you see this play or something? And they all seem to be afraid to stand up, and I know that they don't like it because they personally have told me, you know, on the quiet, frankly, I thought it was awful. But they don't like to stand up amongst friends and say, well, I think it was junk, or I think it was offensive, or I think it was obscene.
Did you see Who's Afraid of
Virginia
Woolf?
So in the column I say that, and no, I have not seen it yet.
I'm sorry. I'd be very interested to see what you have to say about everybody else has been reviewing it at great length.
Well, you know, the concept of a couple of people arguing for 4 hours isn't exactly thrilling to me.
That's exactly how I feel.
I love what you just said about the foreign movies. I think fall into that category, and I have a theory that every foreign movie comes in with an award. They all have awards, you know, like the East Bialystok Award. People stand in line, and everybody walks out of them. Wasn't it marvelous? It was just so wonderful. Nobody knows what it was about. Everybody's afraid to tell everybody else that they don't know, understand it either, but they're afraid to say it because they don't want to be considered square. And wasn't Leany marvelous the way he put that piece of fruit on the table? The symbolic meaning that fruit had. Yeah. And they asked Fellini, what did you mean by that? Nothing. I had a piece of fruit left over, so I just stuck it on the table. He didn't know what he meant either, you know?
Hated the picture, loved the award.
And I agree that when people walk out of those 8 1/2, 14 1/4, they don't know what it's all about. They really don't. But they're afraid to admit it because I don't want to show everybody else that I don't understand. Nobody knows what it's all about. And people walk out, darling, it's just rapturous. It was just red. It was so wonderful. I just was... Spellbound. What it mean, Frida? I don't know, Sally, but don't say anything.
I think in a way we all tend to be a little phony because we're a little embarrassed to say what we actually think about something. Look, friends and neighbors, let's have a word from Arthur Godfrey.
Mel, we have a big vacation value, money-saving value on Helmac lint pickups. For a limited time only, the folks can get a regular-size Helmac lint pickup together with a handy purse size, $1.69 value, for just $1.29. You save 40 cents. You find these two items displayed together on a card, and the regular size is handy to have at home for the fast, easy removal of lint and other unsightly debris from clothing, upholstery, draperies, and so forth. And the purse size is the one you carry with you. Not only in a purse, you can carry in a briefcase, a glove compartment of your car, travel bag. Mighty convenient for summertime when so much traveling is done. You might call this a Mr. and Mrs. set, one for the husband, one for the wife, or a home and travel set. Bought separately, they cost you $1.69. Buy them together on this special sale card, and that's the way you'll find them displayed, usually, in the stores. Only $1.29, you save 40 cents. So look for the card with a regular and purse-size Helmac lint pickup. You'll find these displayed where products for the care of clothing are sold. Look your best and save money, too, with the Helmac lint pickup on the vacation value sale.
All right, Arthur, we most certainly will. There's nothing like a little lint can be gotten rid of, Ryan. While you were talking, I picked up this book by Paul Molloy. All I said was, listen to this. Paul Molloy is a little Thurberian, if I may use the word in the highest sense of the word. He is a man who is able to view the rest of us and see us. He does one of his little stories on frustration. He says, frustration on the way to work is looking down at your feet to find the socks don't match. Frustration is warm toast and frozen butter. Frustration at a wedding reception is when the photographer snaps your picture just as you're putting a forkful of angel food cake into your mouth. You got any favorite frustrations, Mr. Molloy?
I think my favorite one, you know, with the 8 children, is going to the bathroom and looking at 10 toothbrushes and forgetting what your color is.
That's beautiful. It certainly is.
Would
this
you like
is the man. Yes, excuse me, Marty.
Molloy, would you like to write a few monologues for an up-and-coming young comedian?
This is not a bad idea. He's got some very good ideas, Marty. May I go back over here into the corner now, the Sandler and Young corner? How did you two get working together? Here you are. You did a big show last Saturday night. What was that show?
At the Concord Hotel.
I heard about that. It was in the hotel. I heard a man talking, and he said they were standing on their feet cheering these two men. Is that right?
Well, it was quite something to see. Usually at this particular hotel, the Concord Hotel, during the summer months, they have a different star every Saturday. And for them to even use a comparatively unknown act as Tony and I are, it was quite a feat for them to even take the chance to put us on. And we went out actually with two strikes against us because everyone was asking, who are they? And it was something to see by the time we finished. It was really...
And this is in front of like 3,500 people, of course.
And Tony, you're Belgian, aren't you?
Yes.
From where?
Kortrijk is the town where I live. It's between Ghent and Ostend.
It's near the Bronx.
Yeah. Well, that's where you're from, isn't it?
Well, I was born there.
6,000 miles
yes.
apart. How did you two get to now stand together at a microphone? How are you building this act together? What happened?
Well, tell them. Well, I love your accent.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you do.
It's pretty nice, it really is. Yeah.
Well, Ralph was sent to Italy. That's your story, actually, Ralph. So you take from there.
Well, actually, I was sent... do you like my accent?
I love your accent.
Oh. See how nice he is? we never fight.
I can see that.
Until today. I was sent to Milan, Italy, to rehearse for a show that was getting ready to go to Las Vegas. And when I got there, I met Tony, and we became very friendly. Actually, Tony speaks all the language, and I couldn't speak a word of Italian, and as a result...
He knew one word, one famous word now for us, zuppa di verdura.
That means vegetable soup.
Well, that's a good beginning. You won't start.
Yeah, but I
ate vegetable soup.
It
anyway.
Was coming out of my ears, Charlie.
Until he met me, sir.
And now you've switched him to other
and
things.
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way we met, actually, right? But there was a... A special way of meeting because I got into this French show because I was 6'2 and Ralph was 6'1, not because of voice, not because of...
You mean somebody just wanted two men about the same size?
That's exactly what's happened.
He came down, loaded down with his tape and records for this producer to hear him. He traveled about 250 miles to get to Milan from where he was working.
My little European car.
And when he got there, the fellow just asked him how tall he was. He said 6'2". He says, okay, you got the job. So now, folks, if you ever want to get into show business, just become 6'2".
I want you both to head for that microphone right over there, and I'm going to carry you over there while we have a word from Arthur Godfrey. Then I want to see if you do match up for size and also for sound. Arthur?
Mel, we've got a new trend in relief of headaches these days. Got a medicine that calms anxiety and lifts depression as it relieves headache pain. You know, when a guy has a headache, he suffers not only from pain, but often from its mental anxiety and depression. So, a special formula is today's Anacin. Anacin is a fortified, exclusive combination of ingredients that gives extra medication for extra relief power. It not only relieves headache pain and calms the underlying tension anxiety, but also helps lift the depression. With Anacin, you experience remarkable all-over relief. This combined action of Anacin is a new trend in relief of headaches, but it also is very good after an extensive horseback ride. You know, it'll relieve the pain no matter where it is. And it calms anxiety and lifts depression as it relieves. And remember, Anacin contains the pain relief compound that doctors most recommend. And it contains more of this pain reliever than any other leading tablet. Taken as directed, Anacin is safe, non-narcotic, non-habit-forming, and it does not leave you dull or depressed. Anacin, it's better than ever. Try it.
All right, Mr. G, we sure will. And this is Monday morning, and everybody could use a little help. Any help you can get is certainly welcome on Mondays. Now, Tony, Ralph, who would like to set up this next
tune? Mel, I would very much like to sing a little French ballad right now.
Oh, well, then I'll step aside.
Well, Ralph, I need your help.
See what I mean, Mel?
Oh, it's a team.
He needs me. Well, I don't know nothing about the French language, Tony.
You don't know nothing about the English language either.
I hate a wise guy. Can I have a French arpeggio, please? That's not a French arpeggio. That's a French arpeggio.
Monsieur Boom Boom, t'arrives dans la peau. Monsieur Boom Boom, c'est toi qui donne le tempo. Ça balance comme ça. Bon, tu fais un, deux, trois.
Should we bing, ding, ding, ding?
Oh no. Monsieur Boom Boom, ça balance terriblement. Avec ta bim, bim, bim. Monsieur Boom Boom. Et dis donc, t'es jeune incognito.
Should we bing, ding, ding, ding?
Oh no. When the Beatles sing on every record, you'll always hear them sing, yeah, 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 yeah. Monsieur Boom Boom, c'est toi, je suis dans le vent. Avec des bim, bim,
bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim,
bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim, bim,
that. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Monsieur, you speak a beautiful French, but when it comes to boom booms, you stink, Charlie. I'll tell you that right now.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah!
That's better. You know, I have always heard that sitting here on Godfrey's show was more fun because you meet more people doing more weird things, and that boom 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 is one of the weirdest.
It sure is.
When I came into New York, I was getting lots of letters from people, and I got this letter from a little lady who lives in Polo, Illinois, and she said, I would just like to give you this word of advice, Mal. Look them in the eye and be still. This allows you command of all your resources plus God's strength. And she sent me off to New York with that word just to look you people in the eye and to watch you work and to listen to you and admire your fabulous talent. You two guys are great. Morty, don't you think you could use a little of that bully hump?
Oh, I certainly could, yes. Can I tell you a cute story that happened
to me
at the Concord? I was involved. This is starts off very tragic, but it winds up. I was involved in an automobile crash about 4 years ago, and a lady went through a full stop sign, and she hit me and turned over my car and all of that, and I was in the hospital for about 16 weeks. It was just a fluky thing that happened, and it happened on a Monday, And the Friday of that particular week, I was booked into playing this hotel, the Concord Hotel. And they took me into a hospital, and they had worked on me for about 8.5 hours. Now, either I was hurt very badly, or the surgeon didn't know what he was doing. I haven't figured that out yet. But they put me back together again. I had 11 broken ribs and a broken right arm, and a lot of other things that were taken out.
What's left?
Oh, all, the only thing that's left of the original me is this little pinky.
Little finger.
So... this was a Monday, and the Tuesday I spent in the recovery room, and the Wednesday I took a turn for worse, and I started to fade out of the picture. And they said, well, there's nothing more we can do for this young man. Let's bring him back to his room and just keep our fingers crossed. Now, you've got the scene. Now, they're wheeling me out of the recovery room, and I'm on my way back to my room, and there were tubes, and it was a real scene from Ben Casey or Kildare, one of those things, and people are yelling and hollering. And as I'm going through the hallway, I open my eyes, and I see my manager, the agent, books me on my jobs. He was standing outside the operating room for 2 days and waiting to see what would happen. And the first words out of my mouth, out of a 48-hour coma, I said, I looked up and I said, Nat, did you cancel the Concord for Friday? And he looked down at me with a straight face and he said, let's wait till tomorrow. We'll see how you feel. I started to laugh, and I laughed myself back. So that's my philosophy. Anytime things look a little dull and dreary, I just say, let's wait till tomorrow. All straight.
That's a wonderful
great
story.
The letter reminded me of that.
Just be quiet and God's mercy, huh?
That's right.
You're doing television commercials, pardon the expression, I understand, yes, but they're another part of our business.
Yes.
Haven't I seen you on one in Chicago?
Yes, I have a few in Chicago, a few of them in New York. Yes, funny things can happen doing television.
Give us a, for instance.
Well, I did one for, I was called up to do one for a nasal congestion spray. And since the FTC or the FCC made a ruling that you're not allowed to fake it anymore, they were looking for people that had a cold. And my agent called me on the phone and said, Morty, how do you feel? And I said, I have pneumonia, which I had, walking pneumonia all last November. And she said, that's marvelous. Don't lose it, but show up at this advertising agency 10 o'clock in the morning because we need somebody with a stuffed nose. But don't lose, don't take any pills, don't ruin it. So I went down to the advertising agency, and there were like 10 actors around, you know, coughing and... I said to these fellows, you can all go home, boys, because I have pneumonia. You'll never get the job. I mean, I have a legitimate pneumonia. What do you got, a little clogged nose and earache? What is that? How does that rate pneumonia, right? So they call me, and now I'm doing shtick around saying, hey, wouldn't it be funny if the casting director is a doctor and they're really going to check up whether you're sick? Sure enough, the casting director was a doctor to make sure that you were really sick and ill. And I walk in, and he looks up my nose, and he says, well, let me hear you breathe. And I go, and he says, the right one is clear. And I go, he says, the left one is clear. He says, no, your nasal passages are clear, I'm sorry to say. He says, but you have pneumonia. You're very sick. He said, you ought to check into a hospital. I didn't get the job, by the way.
Oh,
but I paid him $5 for an office visit.
You've had terrible health here.
Oh, terrible. I have one in Florida. That was...
I think we'd better have a word from Arthur Godfrey, and then I'm waiting for you to get back from wherever it is you're going, okay?
Mel, let's see how many ways there are to can and preserve tomatoes, just for instance. Stewed, puree, sauce, juice, picalilli, ketchup, tomato preserves. That's what I like. Great big tomato. You can put these in the big wide mouth curd jars. Great for freezing whole chickens and canning whole big beefsteak tomato and things like that. The people who make Kerr jars make it possible for you to get a perfect seal every time you can tomatoes this favorite way of yours. I don't care how you do it. Stew 'em, puree 'em, sauce 'em, juice 'em, pickle 'em, whatever. Try yourself. Insist on Kerr jars, caps, and lids, and you'll have the finest. And your canned foods will be good when you want them to be. Kerr, K-E-R-R.
And we are certainly into the height of that canning season, aren't we? I don't know whether it's vegetables or just what, but out in Wisconsin right now, up around Madison, the corn is really yay high. And that's the song from Oklahoma that I was thinking about, but it sure does apply back in the good old Midwest. You were on your way to Florida now, Morty.
Well, I was doing a commercial for a mouthwash. And it was in the middle of December, and New York City at that time was about 42 degrees, and I had to appear on a tennis court. So we were going to go to a retirement community in Florida to film it, because it was warmer down in Florida. It was 29. And I was standing in my tennis shorts out there and freezing, and in this little retirement community where you see the people sitting in the boats, you know, fishing, you know, $60 a month I retired for. That's why they're fishing, because they need the food. $60 a month is not going to get them much to eat. And we came into this retirement community, and there's nothing to do there. It's a retirement community. They have retired. They really retired, not from life, but from the world they retired. And I said to them, what do you do here at night? And this one lady said to me, well, you're lucky, Sonny. It's Tuesday night, and in about a half hour, we're going to play bingo, and that will take about a good hour and a half, and that'll be terrific. I said, I don't think I could stand all that excitement, because I just looked at the cannon for a half hour, and I watched a few haircuts. I saw a few trucks on the highway, and that took a long time, too. And I said, could I go to a movie? She said, well, I'll call you a cab. And I called the cab driver on the phone, and he said to me, cab number one will pick you up. I said, wonderful. So I went outside, and on one door, he had cab number one. And on the other door, he had cab number two. So I said to them, why do you have a one on one door and a two on the other? He said, I want everyone to think I have a two-cab fleet. When they see me going uptown, they see number one. When they see me coming downtown, they see number two. They think I own two cabs.
Hello, Florida. That's beautiful. Nobody has more fun than Morty Gundy.
I certainly hope so.
Carol, are you over there? We're going to run out of time here pretty soon, but I want to get another song.
Well, I'll
song
sing it
out.
Fast if you like.
No, just sing it the way you feel happiest about it.
Okay.
And a one and a two and a Johnny, if you will, please.
Oh, while tearing off a little game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine fin and haddie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Oh, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I want to warn you, laddie, that I think you're perfectly swell, but my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats me so well.
Time for my first experimental flight with all of you. I've thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. I'll be here every day with you all this week. I'll be talking with the boys in the band and wonderful people like Carol Sloan and Morty Gundy and Paul Malloy and this exciting new act, Tony Sandler and Ralph Young. These boys will be opening at the Plaza this Wednesday, and if you're in the area, by all means, get in to see them. They've got a new album that's coming out. I'm only sorry we didn't get about six more tunes from them. You can only do so much in any one given period. Johnny, it's great to be here with you. And to you, Peter LaSalle, Arthur's producer. You're not nearly as pretty as my red-headed producer back in Chicago named Lynn Pierce, but you'll sure do anyway. I'll see you all tomorrow morning right here in Arthur Godfrey's stand. As Arthur says, be the good Lord willing.
Thank you.
CBS News Net Alert bulletins interrupt immediately when news is urgent. Regular CBS News reports come to you every hour and next on the CBS Radio Network.